your only local news radio. 97.5 KTVB-FM. Troop Title Longview. KTVB Tyler and KTVB.com. It's 7 o'clock. This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of In Focus, heard weekends on KTBB 97.5 FM and KRWR, the Team 92.1 FM. You can join us each week as we interview those who help Tyler and Longview residents make their lives better. As always, you can reach out with your thoughts on the show and any topic you would like us to consider airing on ktbb.com/infocus. Again, that web address is ktbb.com/infocus. My guest today is Nita Fran. She is the executive producer, executive director, and host of Art Connection. Welcome, Nita.
Good morning, Lonnie.
How are you?
I am wonderful, and thank you for the invitation. I'm excited about talking to you.
You were one of my first guests, and it'd been a while since I'd been on the air. And taking over a show, trying to fill John's shoes was no easy task.
John.
Haven't done it, you know. But it was. I think I wasn't as relaxed. You get more relaxed as you do things over and over.
Yes.
So
now you feel like it's yours.
A little bit. It's starting to grow a little algae. You know, as soon as it's completely algae covered, I'll own it.
Let me know.
So my first question for you is. Why is art important enough that it needs a weekly show?
Art is so much a part of our lives, every part of our lives, Lonnie. And I'm going to go back to why I started it. That may help you understand. When I left New Mexico, I had done a show there for 7 years on air, interviewing artists and even politicians a lot of times. So when I came here and I was looking around and I noticed the visual arts didn't have a lot of exposure. The performing arts, we had a symphony, and we had the Tyler Civic Theater. The schools were doing a wonderful job with their theater and their bands. But I noticed the visual arts didn't have much of exposure. And I thought, why is that? And I thought, okay, maybe it's the way we're thinking about visual arts. The artist, I would talk to some of them, they didn't have any place to show their art. There was one art gallery in town, and it was Gold Leaf. So I thought, okay, how do I've got a lot of work to do if I'm going to have an art gallery. So how do I put it in the forefront of people's minds that having art in their lives, owning art, even supporting the arts would be so important? So I came up here, and with the help of one of the people that worked here, I came up here and I visited with Paul and I asked him, would you consider doing that? He said, let me hear one of your shows from K-Fun in Las Vegas, New Mexico. So I called my friend there. He sent one of the CDs over and Paul said, yes, let's do it. So on March the 3rd, I believe, or the 5th one, 8 years ago, we had the first show. So what I've done in having this show every Saturday morning, I have invited people of all kinds of art, not only artists that stand and paint on a canvas, students that play in bands. We have done theater from different places. We do the Tyler Museum of Art very regularly. I chose two or three different local nonprofit art-related entities, East Texas Symphony Orchestra, Tyler Museum of Art, and Tyler Civic Theater. Every Saturday, we try to talk something about each one of those to let people know what's going on in those entities that provide such wonderful resources in our community for art. So that's why we started it. And I've truly reached out. I've brought in people from Longview, people from Edom. If I see something that I think needs to be talked about or someone interviewed, and I want to give that artist an opportunity to get their story out, because life is about stories.
Well, why does it seem that there's more artists as far as a nation goes? Like I rarely find artists from Ohio or Minnesota, or but the Southeast particularly where we are, the Northwest, Louisiana, Southwest Arkansas, East Texas, and down to San Antonio, Austin.
New Orleans.
God, I can't believe I forgot that. But that whole, let's just make a rectangular square around that area. Such rich culture and art. Where does that come from, do you think? And why is this area, California, don't want to forget California, New York, I get it. But, there's quadrants. It seems like there's quadrants of artists. Do they seek out welcoming places?
I think art is in their culture. We are so affected by our surroundings and everything we think. It's our surroundings that impress us the most. And so they reach out into that and depict that in some way. And since the internet's available and all of this that we are, movies, all of this in my generation, the movie thing, the visual that we have, so many people take those visuals that they have seen all their lives, and it's just inside of them, they want to get it out. It's, how can I create? How can I be creative? And I think that has a lot to do with it. Whether or not it's regional, you think back into Europe, those people, when they were trained, Lonnie, they were trained by the masters. If you did art, if you were serious about your art, particularly visual arts and in the symphonies, they studied the masters. That's who they wanted to be like. And so what I have realized in the last, even if this happened back in Europe, all of a sudden they had this wonderful movement, let's say, of art, and then you come along with this group that says, oh, we don't want to do that. We're going to do something totally different. We're going to fly in the face of that. So we're going to do something different. And you think about, as you study art history, the visual art history, then they go a totally different way. Think about Cubism. And they went against the Monet era and all of that. Romanticism, then you moved into something else. And it's just fascinating to watch how all of this changes. And then you bring it back down to our own culture, into our Tyler and our Longview areas. There are these people that they're not necessarily studying art, but I'll tell you what I have discovered. So many of the artists that came to me when I had the gallery for that 6 years, they were people that were retiring. They had been wanting to do art when they were young. Life took over. They didn't have a way to do art as a living, so the time wasn't available to them. They started families. They had a career. So all of a sudden, they find themselves, where is it within me? And it's boiling up inside of them, and they're wanting to sit down and reground themselves. And art is a super way to do that. There's a book called It's Never Too Late, and that speaks so much to, it's written by the same woman that wrote another art book, and I can't think of it right on the top of my head, but that's one of the things she talks about. She lives in Santa Fe, and she talks all the time about art is within us. Do we let it come out? Do we bring it out? Do we give over to it enough that it becomes important enough for us to go buy the supplies, take the lessons, and sit down and do it? And so,
are lessons imperative to be successful?
No, I will say they are not. I do not think that.
I'm going to let you see the stuff I do at one point. She'd get a good laugh. But
you're an example of that.
A good laugh?
No, you're an example of one. Well, maybe. You're an example of just what I was talking about. You do art.
There's something in me that I want to get out.
Yes, there is. I think you know what I'm talking about.
I get it out at 20 minutes at a time. But I'll give you an example. I think my favorite type of art at this point is surrealism.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite, and it leads me to my next question. But I'll give you an example. So one of my favorite bands in the '90s was called Living Color. African American singer Corey, he's the son of a major movie star, but their art was done. I can't remember the artist's names right now, but it was just amazing surrealism. And I saw that. I enjoyed that music. I saw those pictures. And it wasn't until 3 years ago or a couple years ago when I started getting into painting myself that I researched who that artist was and saw all of his other works and realized it wasn't their just album art. I mean, this guy is super talented and done all these things that speak to me. I say all that to get the question out, how do we seek and find art that we're interested in?
Well, the internet's, you can put in anything and find it if you're wanting to do it.
But if you don't have an artist's name, like, I mean, I realize you can Google surrealism.
Oh, I see what you're saying, an artist's name. All right, if you know what how they paint, you have to have a search word, anything that you, the music, for instance, do they do the covers of their music? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Well, they had whole, similar to Pearl Jam, they had whole books inside the CD cases because they were just past album time in the CD cases of art. So there might be, I don't know, 4 to 30 images, just depending on the CD.
Always in that case is going to be that person's name that did the work. You'll find it. They have to give them credit. It has to be there. So you can just take any of that information, even the band name, and somewhere in that is going to be the credit for the person that did the artwork.
Do you paint?
No, not anymore.
But you did it one time.
Yes. That's what I, when I took my degree, got my fine arts degree, my emphasis was in painting, but I discovered I had a terrible allergy to oil, so they had to put me and another person in a separate room away from the oil, and so we did acrylics, and so that was a beginning for me to find out a lot about myself, about art. I do not draw. I cannot draw well. When I was very young, I was extremely nearsighted, very nearsighted. I didn't even know there were leaves on trees. And so by the time that I was corrected, my eyes were corrected, I had lost a lot of that natural ability for depth perception. And so my ability to draw is very, very limited. But I did shapes. I did all kinds of shapes. And it was a kind of a contemporary way of doing my art. But then my interest was very much in interior design, so I went that way. But you know what, Lonnie, it was interesting. When I had my exit interview with the art department, you know, everybody had to have an exit interview, and my dean of the art school said, I'm going to make a prediction. I don't see you doing art. I see you promoting art.
I understand that
was a long, long time ago. Didn't happen until I really opened my first art gallery, and I realized there was such a need within the artists themselves to find a way to promote themselves, and many of them didn't even know how. They just wanted to get their work out there. They wanted a place to put it, and I had a business mind as well as the artistic side of me, so I thought, I can do this. I can help them. And that's what I did. Really, that's when I started it, when I opened the galleries in New Mexico. That's when I really started doing it that way. And then when I came to Tyler, I knew I was not going to be doing my art. When I was in New Mexico, I designed jewelry. But when I came to Tyler, I knew that I was not going to have that. I had a Native American. He was in Las Vegas, New Mexico. There was no way that I was going to be able to keep that part of my life going. So I just stepped back and decided I was going to be that promoter. I was going to be that person that provided the wall, provided the space, provided the encouragement for an artist to come in and hang their art and say, I am in a gallery. That's a big step for an artist. I had a lot of people come in and want to put their art on the wall. Some of them, it was not acceptable. And some of them, Lonnie, I was blown away by the talent. We have some amazing artists, like you were just talking about.
Oh, my gosh. It's unreal.
It is.
It really is unreal.
And from every aspect of it, from contemporary art to traditional
Western
art.
Anything.
Oh, my word, yes.
I've never been a huge fan of Western art, but I'm beginning to be, because it, just like a lot of other realism, would that fall under realism?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it depends on the artist. There's many ways.
Art's so great.
Sure.
It's so vast.
It totally is the person's mind coming out.
Now, I know you referenced New Mexico, so one of the hotbeds of art that I've never been to is Santa Fe.
You need to go.
That's what I hear. My aunt and uncle just came back, and obviously my family knows my interest in my stupid interest in art. You know what I mean? I'm not an art connoisseur, but they know that I love art.
You're wanting to grow that.
I do want to grow that. The car show for years was my artistic outlet. That's what I did. That fed that artistic in me.
It's an art.
It is, and I realized
graffiti
that.
Is art.
I've done a graffiti piece. I took a chrome marker on a black canvas and just called it chrome graffiti, and nothing foul on it, but
sure.
It just amazes me how
tattoos are art.
What's that?
Tattoos.
Oh, absolutely.
Is that good not amazing? Sometimes I want to stop a person and say, stand still. I just want to look at your arm.
thank you. And that's so we talked about. Do you ever put your age out there?
Yes.
Okay. Nita Fran is a beautiful 80-year-old.
Yeah. And I'll be 80 this month.
Okay. You'll be 80 this month. Do we talk? When?
24th.
Okay.
When's your birthday?
Okay, mine's 6th, okay. So just a couple days.
It is.
Happy birthday in advance.
Thank you.
That's all right. That proves we're doing weekend radio. Let's see. So my next question would be, with all the creativity that we have here, and you mentioned tattoos, a lot of people, older people, are averse to what I call body art, okay? And some of it can be aggressive, but I'm with you. I think some of it can just be absolutely beautiful.
It is.
And yeah, if you do it when you're 20, the flower's going to look a little different when you're 64, but the art of tattooing, that's something we don't talk about very much because it still goes back to those, hard-ass sailors or whatever from the, that's how the Marines.
And our prejudices. We have our prejudices about things.
Correct. And I'm not a fan of body art that's offensive. If you got a Confederate flag, to me, cover that thing up. But that's just me.
Well, our T-shirts.
All right.
Think about how sometimes we see T-shirts that you just want to take it and go wrong side out because it's inappropriate.
But all tattoo artists really need, if you're serious about a large tattoo, those artists have to be able to create that art on paper before they put it on your body. Is that right?
Some of them do.
Okay. I've only got one tattoo, so I'm not really informed about it. That's what I wonder. So, but they have to be amazing artists to begin with. I'm not talking intellectually speaking. I'm talking physical.
Think of the contours of the body.
Yes.
To make it make sense when you actually look at it. I don't know anything about it. I've never seen a tattoo done. I've just seen some that are absolutely beautiful. And the colors that they're using, used to they would be so dull, but they are absolutely beautiful, some of them. And I've interviewed a tattoo artist before. I want you to say that.
Well, that's good. I was wondering if, Tyler, my next question will be about color in art, but I was wondering if Tyler could ever maybe have a tattoo show where, maybe on a Saturday.
Wouldn't that be cool?
30. I would think so. 30 people pose
and show all of
and
their
show
art.
Their and show their body art. I would certainly go see that. Mm-hmm. It would be a little weird, when they eat buffets off people. I'm not that really that guy. I don't want to do that. But
no. I didn't know that was a possibility. I haven't lived that long, Lonnie.
Well, you're never too late. So color. The feel for color, the vibrance of color or the subtlety of color, how does that affect our response to paintings?
It depends on personal preference. Some people love the black and white. Some people love the graphic, just the graphic art, graphite art, the blacks and the shadings. first thing you do when you learn to paint is you learn shadings, and then you move forward. But it's all in preference. And just like with pen and ink, you can get an amazing painting out of pen and ink, as much so as you would if it was color. And maybe it would even be a stronger thing to look at from a perspective. But for me, I love color. I love color. I'm drawn to things that are colorful. Some people, they would much rather go to an art show that shows them dull and muddy looking things. It's just personal preference. And it's the same thing with an artist. What are they trying to depict? And many times color is part of that story of that piece of art. If you're painting a haunted house, what are you going to use?
Blacks and grays,
black and white. Blacks and dark greens and all of that.
And that really interests me, to be honest with you, that shading thing. I actually ordered a paint by number set because now you can download the images or whatever. Mm-hmm. Someone do one of Eddie Vedder in black and white.
It's a learning process.
It is. So speaking with Nita Fran, who is the host of Art Connection here on KTBB weekends at Saturdays on what
Saturdays
time?
From 8 to 9.
Mm-hmm. So please listen. The former host of this show, where it all started with John, when this our interview is over, I'm going to take you to my office. His family, so nice. After he passed, they gave me all of John's artwork, and John was a pencil artist.
Was he? I did not know.
You're going to be blown away by his level of art, and his talent was just immense. So I'm going to ask you this question. Pencil art would be perfect for someone on the spectrum, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And would you tell our audience why that would be?
Because when we think of someone on the spectrum, we think that they, what I'm going to say is they see life differently. They certainly see color differently. They hear things differently. They process their world around them differently. And so for them, it's all about how they're perceiving that to look. You're not going to see the same thing they see, Lonnie, when they look at something. And so what they would choose might be something so different than what you and I would choose. I think of someone on the spectrum like Elon Musk and his creativity. I read his book. Unbelievable the way the man perceives things and thinks. And his living situation.
Clearly on the spectrum.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah. In an amazing way. Mm-hmm. His art is... I saw one the other day here in Tyler, one of those vehicles that, and I saw one in Dallas.
His art's vision, in my mind.
Absolutely, and that's creativity, but they're dull. Those things are grays, and they look like a piece of metal that's just driving down the road. There's nothing really pretty about them unless you just like angles. But for him, expressing art is at a level that I could never understand the way he processes his thinking. And my thought would go back to what would he choose if he were sitting down and going to draw something? What would he choose? What would he choose, a paintbrush? No, he's going to choose the quickest thing he can get to do what he wants to do. And many times that is part of the actions maybe of someone on the spectrum, or something that they can control. Having control of a little bit of their life is important. And so a pen is much easier to control.
It's so detailed.
Yes.
It's so...
than a brush.
Determined. Each mark has to be in the exact same place, or it has to be erased. Not exact same place, the exact place you want it.
Exactly.
Or it has to be erased.
Exactly.
So that's what...
With paint, you can color it up. With oil or acrylic, you can cover up your mistake. But if you're doing it with a pen and ink or with a pencil, art color pencils, no, you have to, you bought it.
so blown away. I mean, I can't wait to show you this stuff. I actually think it's at my house. I took it from my office to my house, and his family was so kind. They actually had two of his paintings framed for me and sent from Pennsylvania, which just super nice to remember. But I wanted to just put that in there for John, for those of you who'd listened to his show over the years.
See, I never
just
knew that
there
John
was so much depth.
John
correct.
Mm-hmm.
John was quiet. John was a quiet person. Went about his business in a dutiful way. The most, well, I'm just going to say it. I've said it over and over. The most Jesus-like guy I've ever met. He was sweet
inside and out.
But the depth, and for those of you that listened to this show when he hosted it and heard him on the news all these years, I just can't begin to tell you the depth of this individual and how happy I am to have known him and been exposed to him and actually sadly seen his life after he left and saw all that he would have never let us know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are a lot of artists also guarded?
Oh, many artists have personalities. It's almost like I could have put them in a category of three or four different categories by looking at their art and sitting down and visiting with them. I always visited with an artist before I put their art in the gallery because there were three parts to it. I wanted to know what they were like. Were they going to be a team player with the other artists? Were they going to be competitive? Were they going to be someone that would come into the gallery and contribute to the gallery as a whole instead of backing away and just being for themselves? The other thing was the quality of their art. And the other thing was, what is their potential? What is their quality of their art to begin with, and then their potential? And so artists have personalities, and they're at different places. Okay, let me go to another thought here. Lonnie, you are still learning to walk with your art. You're not ready to run yet.
Crawling.
You feel like you're crawling,
yeah.
But you want to walk, and you want to be able to run with it. You want to be able to have it as much a part of your life as this gut feeling of yours is I've got to get this out. I want to do this. One of the things I would tell the artist, an artist that really, really wants to improve, you have to paint every day. Every day.
It's a muscle.
It is. The brain is a muscle. It has to be.
And I could tell improvement. Now, I've laid off a lot. I've had a lot going on. But I could tell improvement as I went. You're right.
Absolutely.
The more you do it, the more you understand it. Eyes are impossible to just, I mean.
Draw eyes every day then.
Correct.
Draw eyes every day until you say, ooh, I'm getting there.
Last question. We got about 3 minutes, 2 minutes left.
Oh, dear. This is over?
Yeah. Why is abstract so hard for people to understand and so hard to make? I get so sick of saying it looks like a three-year-old did it. Well, I can see, or a five-year-old did it. I can see stuff five-year-olds did that I really like that says something. Well, why do people have such a hard time with abstract?
Because I can't find anything in it that speaks to them. And for me, I like shapes and forms.
Right.
And so I look at abstract many times, and I'm always trying to make something out of it that makes sense to my brain. But there are people that can just look at it and look at it for the color and the movement. You can find movement in it. You can find depth. You can find all of those things in it if you stop and spend some time looking at it. A lot of times people say, okay, I don't go to galleries because I don't understand art. You don't have to understand it. Look at it, and sometimes it'll speak to you, and sometimes it won't. And I developed an understanding of speaking to you when I went to New Mexico, because I realized that it can speak to you, and that's what people need to do. Expose yourself to it. Expose yourself to art.
We started this program with me asking you, why is art important enough to have a weekly show on? And I think in the last 30 minutes, we've answered that question, because we could go on forever
with
this conversation. So please listen to Nita Fran's Art Connection. It airs Saturdays from 8 to 9 on KTBB. She has guests that are amazing.
We have a podcast. It goes on our website, and then everyone is on a podcast.
Very good. Nita, thank you.
You're welcome. Enjoyed it.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.